There's a story that's told about the great philosopher Socrates. Socrates, one day, a man was brought to him to enter his school. Now, Socrates was a philosopher, but he was also a teacher. He was also at a school where he would train individuals. And this young man was brought to Socrates and introduced to him. And before the great philosopher could say a word, this man started to talk. And he talked, and he talked, and he talked. He didn't even come up for a breath of air. He just talked for about 10 to 15 minutes. And finally, when he did stop, Socrates said to him, "I'll take you on as a student, but I'm going to charge you twice as much." Young man looked at him and kind of nonplussed, and he said, "Well, why are you going to charge me double?" To which Socrates says, "First, I'm going to charge you double. First, because I'm going to have to first teach you how to hold your tongue. And then I'm going to teach you how to use your tongue." Now, I thought about that. With me, he would have probably charged about four or five times the going rate. But you know, we all need to know when to hold our tongue and when to use our tongue. And the scripture we're going to look at this morning talks about that. And I want you to take your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 1. We're in the little epistle of James. And you remember that this little epistle was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, the biological son of Mary and Joseph. And he wrote this. This is perhaps the earliest of all the New Testament writings, probably written before A.D. 50. Some possibly say it was written around A.D. 38. So it's a very early writing in the New Testament. He writes it to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. These were Jewish Christians. In fact, all the first Christians, or at least the majority of the first Christians, were Jewish, right? So he's writing to Jewish Christians. This is called a general epistle because it wasn't written to a specific individual. It wasn't written to a specific church. It was written to Christians in general. And so it's called a general epistle. It is extremely, extremely practical in nature. Someone's called it the gospel in shoe leather. Another person said this is the Proverbs of the New Testament. Another person said this is straight talk from Jesus' brother, teaching us how to live out our faith in a hostile environment. It's so practical. You remember a couple weeks ago, I hope you remember the sermon, was on advancing through adversity. Every one of us go through trials. Amen. We do. We all have problems. We all have trials. But God wants us to advance through adversity. He wants us to grow through trials. I mean, how can you get any more practical than that? And he told us, this is how you respond when you're in trials. We took a look at that a couple weeks ago. Last week, you remember, that we talked about how to resist temptation. And you know what? Temptation visits us every day. Come on, everybody wake up. It does. Every day we have some temptation. And you know, we talked about how do you resist temptation? Do you remember what we said? Do you remember? We were supposed to remember four things. You remember? Remember, we're supposed to remember the reward of God. God says if you don't give up in trial and you don't give in temptation, you will receive the crown of life. You will have life, abundant life, God's life. A close relationship to Jesus. We got to remember that when we're tempted to sin. And then we said we got to remember the cost of sin. You remember? When lust conceives, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has its way, is accomplished, it gives birth to what? Death. Death. You see, temptation is a trap. It's a bait. And when we give into it, you know, it leads to death. Got to remember that. Got to remember that. You know, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Cost you your life. Amen. Got to remember that when we're tempted. Remember? We got to remember the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Yeah. You know, God, listen. Teenagers, listen to me. God is not a cosmic killjoy up there trying to mess up your life. He's not trying to cause you to have, you know, pain, and he's not like that. In fact, listen, every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God doesn't change. He is constantly good. God is good all the time, rain or shine. You remembered. Good. Because you know what? When Satan comes and says, God's holding out on you, you can have it good over here. Don't believe him. Don't be deceived, James says. Don't be deceived. God, remember the goodness of God. And always, when you are tempted, remember the grace of God. Yes. Where would you be today if it weren't for the grace of God? Do you ever think of that? Where would we be? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. I'll tell you what, God in his grace chose us before the foundations of the world. He begot us. He birthed us into the family of God. And it was all of his grace. Did you remember? I'll tell you what. Remember I told you, boy, you better remember because temptation's coming. I'll tell you what, I went home last week. This is the truth. Went home, and Linda and I, we just got a lunch together and everything. So I got the food, went in, sat on the couch, turned on the television. And what comes on the screen? I'm not sure the name of it, but I think it's called Naked and Afraid. And there's two naked people there. I turned it off, said, I remember, God. I remember. Didn't take long. I'll tell you what, doesn't take long. Every day, we're gonna meet temptation. Every day. I mean, how much more practical can you get than that? Well, the verses we have today are real, real practical also. Because you remember, these people that James writes to, they're going through trials, they're going through tribulation and persecution, they're going through temptation. And you know what happens sometimes when we get under trials and we get problems in our life? They start to affect our relationship with other people. Yes. When we're under pressure, sometimes we don't act or react like we really should. And so James writes to them verses 19 and 20. Look at verses 19 and 20 there. He writes these verses in James 1 to these people that are under trial, under temptation, because you know what? Listen, they were having some problems, interpersonal relationships in the church. Now, does this stuff happen in the church? In the church, they were practicing partiality. They were playing favorites. They were judging each other. They were criticizing each other. They were even attacking each other and warring. In the church? Yeah, they were. And so James writes these verses to them that are very practical to teach them and to teach us how to respond properly and wisely, really in any and every situation, but especially when the heat's on, when the pressure is building. How are we supposed to react and act with each other? I'll tell you, I thought about this just this morning, because you know what? Lord willing, we're going to build a new sanctuary here. We're kind of full. And the parking lot's kind of full. We're building a new sanctuary. Do you know what happens in a lot of churches when they build? They build a building and lose the church. They do. They get their eyes off the Lord and they start attacking one another. We can't let that happen. We don't want that to happen, do we, church? No. We don't want that to happen. But pressure comes on. Inconvenience comes. And sometimes that can cause interpersonal problems. So he writes these verses, gives three commands to help us respond wisely, especially when the heat's on. So what are the three commands? You have your outline in your bulletin. Command number one, be quick to hear. See it there? This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear. Now, some of you have a translation that says, instead of this you know this. It can mean, the original can mean either one. Some of the people, you know that. You know this stuff. Other people, maybe you don't know this stuff, but we need to know this. This is important. This you know. And who's he writing to? My beloved brethren. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians specifically. You need this. We need this, my beloved brethren. But he says, this you know, but everyone, now it only doesn't just apply to Christians, this is everyone. Everyone must be quick to hear. King James, swift to hear. The word, it's a very interesting word. This word is used over in John chapter 20, verse 4. You remember in John chapter 20, it pictures its Resurrection Sunday. It's the day Jesus rose from the dead. And the women went to the tomb and they find an empty tomb. And they come back and tell the disciples, somebody stole the body. And it says two of the disciples take off for the tomb. Remember who it was? John and Peter. They take off and they're running to the tomb to check it out. But John, being a younger man like Pastor, he outran Peter. And the text says there that he ran ahead faster. Faster. That is the word here for to be swift or to be quick. It pictures a fast runner. When it comes to hearing, be an Usain Bolt, right? You know what I'm talking about? Is he Jamaican? I think Jamaican. That won the Olympics, man. He's fast. James is saying, when it comes to hearing, be fast runner. Be fast. Be quick to hear. Now, what this doesn't mean, folks, this doesn't mean that we are to be quick to hear everything. Do you know we live, I'm not telling you, you know this. This you know, my beloved brethren, we live in an information explosion. We live in an information generation, an explosion. I read this week that every day, over 100 billion emails are sent. 100 billion. That is over 10 times the population of the world. 100 billion emails. I read that every day, 5,000 new books are published. Every day, 5,000 new books. I read in 2015, text messages? There were over 6 trillion text messages sent in 2015. We live in an information generation, an explosion. If you would go back to the time that Jesus Christ was born, and all the information that existed, it took 1,500 years to double that. So in the year AD 1500, doubled the information from the time of Christ. It took 250 years to double it again, 1750. It took 150 years to double it again, 1900. After World War II, every information doubled every 25 years. Do you know what it is today? Information that exists out in the world doubles every 12 months. Every year, there's twice as much information out there. That's an explosion. Daniel, what did Daniel say in the last days? You know, what did he say? That there would be information would increase? You think? So what are we saying? You know what? There's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of information. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Some of it's actually true. Some. And there's a lot of it that's just plain lies. Fake news. It is. It's true. Oh, well, we all know that if it's on the internet or on the nightly news, it's got to be true. Right? Or if it's in the Akron Beacon Journal. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of stuff. You know what? It's interesting. Listen, what Jesus said about listening. You know what he said about listening? If you're taking notes, put down Mark 4:24. Because Jesus said this. Take heed what you hear. Well, you know what he said? Be careful. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. In other words, don't be quick to hear everything and anything. Amen. There's stuff we shouldn't be quick to hear. We shouldn't be quick to hear lies. We shouldn't be quick to hear gossip. In fact, I want to just give you something. If somebody calls you on the telephone and starts gossiping, you have my permission to hang up on them. Just hang up. And they call you back, just say, Pastor Les told me to hang up on you. You can do that. I'm okay with that. We shouldn't be quick to hear gossip. We shouldn't be quick to hear lies. We shouldn't be quick to hear critical or filthy talk. No, that's not what James is saying here. You remember the children's song. Some of you sang it. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know what? That's what Jesus said. Take heed what you hear, what you give your ears to listen to. Take heed. So this doesn't mean to be quick to hear everything. What does it mean? It means we should be quick to hear the Word of God. The Word of God. Or as James puts it, if you look up in verse 18, he calls it the Word of Truth. the word of truth. That's why I love opening up the Bible in the morning with my wife, and we just pray, thank you, God, that today we can start off with truth. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to hear during the day, but I know what I'm reading right now is true. Amen. True. We should be quick to hear the truth of God's word. We should be quick to hear the Bible. We should be quick to hear the voice of our master. You know, as a servant is quick to hear his master's voice. Or as a mom is quick to hear the cry of her little baby. You know, that always amazed me. Because when we had our little babies, let me put it this way. When we were younger, my wife was a good sleeper. She could sleep through a thunderstorm. And I'd wake up and then boom, boom, boom. And in the morning, I said, boy, do you hear that storm? No. And we've had a couple earthquakes around here. Did you hear that earthquake? No. She'd sleep right through it. But we had our babies. And they go, eh. And she's up and she heard it. And she said, what'd you get up for? Didn't you hear the baby crying? I didn't hear a thing. I didn't hear a thing. But moms are, man, they hear, eh. Where's Angie? Where's Angie? Around here, Angie? Someplace? There you go. She's quick to hear. That little clay goes, eh, and she's up. Oh, no, she sends Aaron. You know how moms are quick to hear that? That's how we should be quick to hear God's word. Yes. You know, the amazing thing, this is mind-blowing. The God who created the whole universe, who created everything in the universe, who is the redeemer of all lost souls, wants to talk to you. Amen. And me. He wants to speak to us. And we need to have, we need to be quick to run to the Word of God. We need to be quick to pray like little Samuel. You remember his prayer? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Listening. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about being quick to hear God's word. Quick to hear God's word. And Jesus not only said, take heed what you hear, but put this verse down. Luke 18:8, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Isn't that interesting? How you hear. In other words, don't let it go in this ear and out the other one. You know, when I thought about that, I thought about my boys when they were growing up. And I would call to them. Maybe they were playing football down in the alley, down by our house. And I would call them, street lights are on, come home. Nothing. Hey, guys, come home, street lights are on. Nothing. Nothing. But if I would say, ice cream, they were home. Whoa, where is Dad? So I started doing that at night just to get a, no. You know what? How do you hear? How do you hear God's word? Is he trying to speak to you and to me? Are we kind of, or are we listening? See, this word, and we're going to go into this, Lord willing, if we get to the next section of this book, we're going to go into this. This word, to hear, means to hear with an heart to obey. That's what it means, akouo. To hear with a heart to obey. It implies hearing with that attitude of obeying what we hear. That's what Jesus said. Be careful how you hear. We should listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Now, how should a Christian respond in the pressures of life? When the heat is on, the pressure's mounting. In life and in the pressures and hardships of the 21st century, let's be quick to hear the word of God. May the trials drive us to his word. Now, somebody out there is real smart, and they're saying, wait a second. Back when James wrote this, the Christians didn't have Bibles. Did they? No, they didn't. So what did it mean to them? You know what it meant to them? It meant being quick to go to God's house so that they could hear the word of God being read, that they could meditate on the word of God and get under the teaching of the word of God. So you know what that means that to us too? Be quick, not only to every day read God's word, but be quick to be in church. Amen. Thank you for that one amen. But it's true. We should be quick to be in God's house so we can learn God's word. We should be quick to come to Sunday school. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so early, Pastor, 9:30. We need the word of God. We got to be quick. We should run to church. Usain Bolt, we got to be quick. It's the truth. If ever we needed the word of God, it's today. Our children, listen, parents, you need to have your kids in Sunday school. Adults, you need to be in Sunday school. I'll tell you, I believe this with all my heart. We have some of the best teachers in this church in all of Akron. Amen. Pastor Mike, great teacher of God's word. Brother Steve Sudry, great teacher. Jeremy, great teacher of God's word. Rick Krause downstairs, my wife, Lillian Fott, Karen Zelonsky, Becky Carter, we have some of the best teachers. And that's the truth. Amen. And we should be running to come to church to hear the word of God. That's what it meant to them, and that means that to us too. We need to open our Bibles and let God speak to us. And we need to be under the word of God. Now this also, I think, has application for communication. This is not only listening to God, but it has application here for being a good communicator, being quick to hear. For instance, in relationships, one of the biggest problems in marriages is communication. As I come on to 40 years pretty soon here of being in full-time ministry, I've had a lot of couples come for marriage counseling, and he doesn't listen to me. Well, if you wouldn't yell, I might listen to you. And boy, they're not even communicating when they come to learn about what to do. Communication. Be quick to hear. You know, and this is a guesstimation, but I think about 75% of good communication is listening. So in a marriage, boy, this be quick to hear. And in a church, a lot of the problems, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the problems in churches is because there's not good communication. Pastor Lacey Harless. Some of you remember him. He used to be in our church here. He's now graduated to heaven. But Pastor Lacey, I remember him always saying this. Pastor Les, God gave us two of these. 2 ears. And he gave us one of these. One mouth. And you know, that must mean something. Maybe we should listen twice as much as we talk. Friends, I'll tell you what, this is practical stuff. Practical stuff. James says, be quick to hear. Secondly, his second command is be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. And this fits hand in glove. This goes right along with the first command. We're to be quick to hear, but slow to speak. Now, you remember, James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. But Proverbs in the Old Testament, you know, Mike, yeah, you've been teaching Proverbs, has a lot to say about speaking. Proverbs 13:3 says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Ooh, watch what comes out of your mouth. Or Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. Isn't that interesting? You know the comment. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all shadow of the doubt. That's what Proverbs says. Watch what comes out. Or Proverbs 10:19, and this is one of my favorite, believe it or not, where there's a multitude of words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Watch what comes out. Now this, you know, don't just be a blabbermouth. This doesn't apply to preaching. Somebody told me the other day, Pastor Les, make it short this week. And I said, you know what? I have biblical precedents for long sermons. Paul preached long into the night till midnight. That's when, you know, Eutychus fell out of the window and died. You remember? I've got biblical precedents for preaching long sermons. So some people talk so much, they never hear what anyone else says. Do you know anybody like that? Mm-hmm. But James, he's not really speaking here about the amount of words we speak. And he's certainly not saying, when he says be slow to speak, he's not talking about speaking slowly. That's not what he's talking about. And he's not talking about being hesitant when it comes to sharing the gospel. Man, I'll tell you what, I think we need to be quick, although we need to listen first, but we need to be quick to share God's word and share the gospel. Amen. So he's not talking about that when he says be slow to speak. What he is referring to is being slow to begin speaking. And in the order of these commandments, I think, is important. He says, first, we need to be quick to hear, then we need to be slow to speak. He's commanding that we listen first, think before we speak. We are to engage our mind before we engage our tongue. We are to listen first, then respond. That's what he's saying. Proverbs speaks of this. It says, Old Testament, Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? See a man that's hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than him. Woo! Wow. Don't be hasty in your words. Now, I'm going to give you some personal testimony. And you're going to really feel sorry for me. It is really hard sometimes being married to a pastor's wife. It really is sometimes. Because sometimes, she uses my sermons against me. She does. Now, she does it in a nice way, you know. I preach on worry, and then the next week I'm fretting and I'm worried, and she said, you know, I seem to have heard a sermon lately about that. And she uses my sermons against me. It's hard. You pray for me. And you know what else she does? She even quotes scriptures at me. She does. She does. And one of them she quotes, it kind of goes like that. We've been married this August 18th. 18th, I don't forget that. August 18th, we'll be married 44 years. So you know what? I know how she thinks. I know her. And so she'll go to talk with me, and before she gets out what she wants to say, I go to respond. Because I know what she's going to say, right? I know it. I know what she's going to say. So I respond, and then she looks at me and says, that's not what I was going to say. And then you know what she does? She quotes scripture at me. She says, Proverbs 18:13 says, Les, that he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need prayer in there. And you know what, people? I never do that to her. Right, honey? Pray for me this afternoon when we go home. But, you know, I'll tell you what. It's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. Don't you listen first. Be slow to speak. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Listen before you respond. How do you do in that area? Are you okay in that? Did you listen and engage your mind before you engage your tongue? So many times I think we want to talk, we want to tell others what's on our mind, or we're maybe thinking about how to respond rather than listening. We get it backwards. We're quick to speak and slow to listen. At least sometimes I am, and you are. I was thinking about this. I think social media kind of encourages this, because somebody posts something and quick response. Snappy, snotty, caustic reply. I think it kind of encourages that, rather than trying to understand and listen. James states to respond wisely when the heat's on. And in any situation in our communication with another, we need to first listen to God. Listen to his word every day. Then listen to others before we speak. We need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And then he adds number 3, be slow to anger. Ooh, be slow to anger. And again, the Old Testament Proverbs has a lot to say about anger. Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 16:32 states, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Proverbs 19:11 states, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. So he says, be slow to anger. Now, does that mean we should never get angry? No. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There is such a thing as what? Righteous anger. Do you remember Jesus got angry? Yeah. Did you remember that? You remember over in Mark chapter 3, and this is an interesting account. Jesus is in church, in synagogue. And there was a man there with a what? A withered hand. A withered hand. His hand was just all shriveled up. And the religious hypocrites were watching Jesus. It was a Sabbath day. And Jesus says to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or evil? Is it lawful to give life or to bring death? And he looked at them, and here's these religious hypocrites looking down their snoot. And it said, you know what the Bible says? Jesus, seeing their hardness of heart, got angry. Here's this man who has, he's crippled. And they don't care one hoot about him. They just care about their little rules. Jesus got angry. Or when he went to his father's house, when he went to the temple, and there's these people making a circus in the temple, buying and selling and money changers, cheating people out of money. And Jesus gets a whip and goes in and whips and overturns the tables and drives them out. So you guys are making the church a Walmart. You guys are making the church, worse than a Walmart, you're making the church a den of thieves. And he was angry. My Father's house is to be called a house of what?
Prayer.
Prayer. House of prayer. And he was angry. So Jesus got angry. And you know, sometimes I think it's okay to feel anger. When we see people taking advantage of Kay and being downtrodden and being intentionally hurt, I'll tell you, if that doesn't put some anger in your soul, we should feel anger. There are times when we see how people hurt other people. And just like it grieves the Holy Spirit, it should grieve us. And we can feel that righteous anger. And so he's not saying it's never right to get angry. You know what else he's not saying? He's not saying that when we get angry, just stuff it. Be slow to anger. Well, I'm angry, but it's not right to be angry, so I'll just stuff it down in my heart. You know, sometimes we do that. And you can bury anger, but you'll never bury it dead. You'll bury it alive. And I'm going to tell you what happened. It'll resurrect. We wonder why, you know, just a little thing happens and somebody explodes. Because they didn't deal with their anger the right way. And it's just a little straw that, what, breaks the camel's back. Why did you respond like that? It's not that. It's all those other things that the anger I stuffed. Putting that anger down inside. We're not to stuff our anger. In fact, put Ephesians 4:26. Remember what it says there? Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. See, when we stuff our anger, you know what that does? Gives the devil a beachhead in which to work in our life, an opportunity to work in our life. And that's not what he's saying. He said, be angry. We need to sometimes recognize, you know what? I'm angry. Sometimes we need to confess that to God. Sometimes we need to speak to somebody. And in the right way, not sin, not spew on them, but express that. You know what? I am angry, but let's work this out. Don't let the sun go down on the anger, because that gives the devil an opportunity, a beachhead. I used to tell my boys, anger, A-N-G-E-R, is one letter short of danger. And you put the D of the devil in front of our anger, and I'll tell you what, it's danger. It's danger. So he's not saying here somehow we can never get angry. He's not saying that we should stuff our anger. What is he saying? He's saying that we should be slow to anger. Not short-fused. We should be like God. Because you know what? God is slow to anger. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, you are a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Or Linda and I just read Joel. And in Joel it says, rend your heart and not your garment. Rend your heart and not your garment. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. God is slow to anger. Aren't you glad? Oh, if he weren't slow to anger, folks, we'd be in deep trouble. He's slow to anger. So he's saying, be like God. Be slow to anger. God doesn't have a short fuse. Some people have a short fuse, are prone to anger. James says, he goes on to state that anger of man, you know what? The anger of man, my anger doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. When I get angry, I have a tendency to do wrong things. And when I get angry, listen, I have a tendency to let stuff come out my mouth that, man, I wish I'd never let come out my mouth. And you know what? Once it's out, what? You can't put it back in. You can't put it back in. Watch. Don't have a short view. Be slow to anger. And there's a story. Jonathan Edwards, great revivalist preacher, great preacher back in the first great awakening. And he's the man in the New England pulpit that preached the sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And you know what happened when he preached that sermon? The Holy Spirit came down. And I'll tell you what, it started the first great awakening. I'll tell you, the revival started breaking out all over. Well, the story's told of Jonathan Edwards. He had a daughter. And his daughter had an uncontrollable temper. She had a short fuse. She'd just spew on people. One day, a young man came to Reverend Edwards, and he said, "Reverend Edwards, I'd like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. I want to marry your daughter." And Jonathan Edwards said, "You can't have her." By the way, that was back when they used to ask for the hand. I don't think they do that today. I don't know. Some do. "You can't have her." The young man said, "But I love her." He said, "You can't have her." He said, "But she loves me." He said, "You can't have her." He said, "Reverend Edwards, why can't I have your daughter?" He said, "You can't have my daughter because, son, some people only the grace of God can live with." Oh. Are you one of those people? Are you an angry person? Are you quick-tempered? Short-fused? Are you like the guy that when they said, he said, "You know what? I get angry and I just let it all out and then I feel fine." Yeah, it's kind of like a shotgun blast, right? You pull the trigger and it's over, but look at the damage. Look at the damage that's done. Again, we get it wrong. You know what happens usually in situations? We get angry. Then we speak. And then maybe we listen. That's just backward, huh? And how many times do we say something in anger and 1,000 times after that we say, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't said that." James tells us how we're to respond in every and any situation, especially when the pressure's on. And he gives us the very practical. You can't get more practical than this. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just bow before you, and God, help us with this. Help us to be obedient. Help us to hear this today. Be quick to hear your word today. And help us to apply it in each of our lives and in every relationship in this coming week and months and years. Help us to be more like you. We pray in Jesus' name.